Well, it's great to worship together, and some of our youngest young men lead us, Austin and Tyler. And it's great, their parents are helping them, they're getting the scripture reading in advance and practicing with them, I'm sure, and they're doing a great job. And Adam, you do a great job. You're older of our young men, but your prayers are awesome. They're great. So it's wonderful to be in a congregation where the young folks are growing so much. Why is it important to learn the doctrine of Christ? You can keep your Bibles open. Ephesians 4 will be there in just a moment, as Austin has already read. Why is it important to learn the doctrine of Christ? You know, if you've noticed recently in religion, you don't hear a lot about doctrine anymore, just in religion in general. Several years ago, there were studies done. How do you grow a big church and have lots of people and lots of numbers and bring in lots of money? And one of the overriding things they learned is you don't teach doctrine. Everything you want to believe is okay, you know, it's all okay. Just come on in, give us your money. It's okay, believe everything you want. And you notice, you know, out on the signs, you know, churches will say so-and-so chapel, you know. Well, that used to be a Baptist church out there. Now it's so-and-so chapel. Well, with all these studies they found out, you want to take anything relating to your doctrine off your sign and off your communication with people in general, because you don't want them to know what you believe. You want to bring them in, tell them they can believe whatever they want to believe and still be with you, and you don't want them to know what you believe. Rick Warren, A Purpose-Driven Life, he's famous for, but years before that, he became rather famous among church leaders for the studies he did in this regard. And so he came out with seven principles. The first five I'm not going to mention tonight, but I'm going to mention the sixth one right now. And later in the lesson, as an illustration, I'll mention the seventh one. But this is number six. Doctrinal instruction should not be given to the church as a whole on Sunday. It should be given in subgroups apart from the regular church service as an option for interested parties. In other words, let me paraphrase. Do not proclaim the whole counsel of God from the pulpit, Acts 20:20-31. Never teach doctrine or have any evidence of doctrinal positions communicated on church signs or literature available at the Sunday service. And never say the word denomination. Never use that word or talk about other religions to point out their error. And so this is what's been going on. This is quite different from what we read about in the Bible. In the Bible, we are to teach and we are to learn doctrine. That's what we'll look at in part, at least, with this lesson tonight. Well, what is doctrine? Doctrine simply is teaching or instruction. And in our Bibles, your translation tonight, especially if you have like the King James, may say doctrine where mine will say teaching. And it's really just a different way of saying the same thing. And so doctrine is simply teaching. The doctrine of Christ is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we say the doctrine, we mean simply the whole body of teaching, whether it be of God or of Christ. Now let's look at some verses. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, I want you to understand that even in the first century, there were a number of different religious doctrines. And in verse 14, here as we read, we notice this point. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You see, there are a lot of doctrines, and they would go here, there, they'd blow here or there, and they weren't to be carried about by this doctrine on this and that doctrine on that. Remember in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and Jesus writing or speaking to them through John, who wrote those things down, he talked about some of these doctrines, the doctrine of Jezebel or doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And so there were a number of different religious doctrines at that time. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus warns the apostles to beware of the Pharisees' doctrine or their teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, Paul warns of false doctrines that are entering into the latter times, and he says they are doctrines of demons. So there are a lot of doctrines out there. Our job as Christians is to go to the Bible to understand the doctrine of Christ and reject all the other doctrines. That's our job. Turn your Bibles with me over to Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Mark 1:27. And I want to point out something very interesting to you as we talk about this. You may not have picked this up within just the general context here, but Mark chapter 1 and verse 27. Here is Jesus had done these things, says, they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, here are the Pharisees, the Jews, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Let me suggest to you that the teaching or the doctrine of Jesus Christ was new. Now, it was from God. But it was new. There was something different about it. John 7, 16 and 17, Jesus' doctrine, his teaching, is that of the Father. Remember the high priest, they questioned Jesus about his doctrine at the Jewish trial before his crucifixion, John 18 and 19. And remember, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you have heard this or that, and say, but I tell you this. You see, so his teaching was new to them, although it was from God. Well, let me point out something else to you. Turn over to Acts chapter 5 with me in verse 28. We'll look at two scriptures here in the book of Acts. And I want you to notice that the apostles' doctrine was different from other religious doctrines of the day. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. Chapter 5, verse 28. Here the Jews say, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching or doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then chapter 17 and verse 19. Chapter 17, verse 19. Here is the Apostle Paul in Athens. And verse 19 says this, and they took him, that's the people there, and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is. And so the point is here is that the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine we read about in the Bible, the doctrine Jesus delivered from the Father, it's different. It's not like the other doctrines, the other religious doctrines are teaching. It's different. There's something different about it. You and I as Christians, we have to study and learn the doctrine of Christ, rejecting all of the others. And there are many. Rejecting all of the others and not be carried away by some other doctrine. So why is it important to learn the doctrine of Christ? Just a few things I want to suggest to you from the Bible. First of all, it's important for us to do the right things. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2 and verse 42. And here the church is just beginning. The high school class I'm teaching with Jerry Flatt mentioned to him, some use the term, and I'm not totally opposed to it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, was the birthday of the church. It's when the church began. And so I want you to notice in verse 42 what it says about these Christians. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching or doctrine and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see, they had to know what the apostles' teaching or doctrine was before they could do the right thing. Before this, people hadn't partaken of the Lord's Supper. This was a brand new thing. And you know, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that was a brand new thing. And so they had to learn this doctrine, this teaching, so they could do the right thing, so that they could worship as they ought to. Let me suggest to you here. We can't please God if we don't know the doctrine of Christ, God's doctrine. We can't worship or serve God if we don't know that the doctrine of Christ. We can't even know whether we're in the right church. You know, sometimes I get questions from people. Usually by email, this question anyway. And they'll say, how do I know the right church? How do I know what the right church is? Well, my answer is you go to the Bible, you learn what it says, and you look for a church like that. And there are some that really stick out right away. What is the teaching on salvation? You know, if you get a church that's teaching the right thing on salvation, you've excluded the vast majority of the ones that are teaching the wrong thing, because most of them teach the wrong thing. And you get a church that's doing the right things in its assembly, in its worship, and you've excluded the vast majority of the other ones. But the first thing you have to do is go to the Bible and learn what the Lord says. You have to learn the doctrine first, or you don't know. You don't know what is right. Turn your Bibles with me over to Mark chapter 7, a passage you're very familiar with. But I want us to notice what happens if we don't know the doctrine and then we try to worship God. I want you to notice here, Mark chapter 7, and just jumping in the middle of this quotation from Isaiah that Jesus is giving, you know the scripture so very well. Mark 7 and verse 7 says, "But in vain do you worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." He was also saying to them, "You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." So what happens if we do not know the doctrine, if we do not know the teaching of Jesus Christ, and we set out to worship? Odds are we're not going to get it right. It's not within man to direct his own path. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that is death. Odds are, unless we get super, super lucky, if we just try to guess, we're going to get it wrong. The result of that is vain worship. Vain worship. In other words, it's of no account. It's no good. We're wasting our time. Why? Because we didn't go to the Bible and find out what was right. Remember Hosea 4 and verse 6 of the children of Israel. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And you know what? In religion today, if you can convince people, you don't have to know what this book says. You know, for years and years and years, religious leaders did it by just not letting people have access to it. And it was in a language a lot of people couldn't read. And they just had to trust what this guy was saying. And then they got really mad when it was translated into languages. And then they got even madder when the printing press was developed. And hey, it could be printed out. People could have their own copy and read it for themselves. They got mad at that. They didn't want people to know. We have to know what the Bible says. Why is it important to learn doctrine? So that we can do the right thing and worship the right way. But one more scripture on this point, and that's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And this brings it down to everyday life, day-to-day life, that we're living just every moment of every day. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. Titus chapter 2. In verse 7, a lot of the scriptures we talk about in this lesson is Paul writing to the young men, Titus or Timothy. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Again, jumping into to the middle of things here. "In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine." Listen here. If you don't know the doctrine, if you don't know the teaching of Christ, you can't be an everyday Christian. You can't do it because you don't know the right thing. And it's true as young people, you're brought up by your parents in the training and admonition of the Lord, and that's a good thing. They're doing the right thing. But listen to me, young folks. There's got to come a time in your life when you say, "Okay, I've done this because mother and father said this is the right thing to do, but now I need to go to the Bible for myself and see whether or not it's right." You are accountable to God. And at some point you have to leave mother and father to find out for yourself, is this right? In other words, you have to own your religion as your very own. Not as your parents, as your very own. Test and try whether you've been taught the right things. I trust that you have. To be just an everyday Christian, going to school, doing the right thing, going to work, coming to church, you've got to know the doctrine. You've got to know the teaching. We know that teaching, and because of that, we obey Him and do the things that are right. But also, you know, we have to know the doctrine to be saved. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And I think this is one of the coolest things about God. God has been right up front with us. God has laid it right on the line that there's not going to be any surprises for those who have taken God serious, have gone to His Word, and learned what He would have us to do. John 12, verses 47 and 48. Jesus says, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." So we're going to stand in judgment. And is He going to be there just rendering some arbitrary judgment? No, absolutely not. It's going to be strictly by His teaching, His Word, what is in this book. And in essence, it is going to be this book That judges us. You know, if teachers in school, I thought it was really great of them to give us an open book test. You ever have an open book test? You know, you go and you study and the teacher teaches, gets time to be a test. Says, well, here, y'all can use a textbook. Just fill out the questions. To me, that is the simplest thing in the world because here are all the answers. Here they are right here. So Jesus has given us the book far in advance. And he's told us, take this book, study this book, learn this book, know this book, live by this book. This is what you're going to be judged by one day. You're going to have an open book test one day. And I think that's great of the Lord to do that. I mean, he couldn't have done a better thing for us than to make it that plain and that simple. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. As you do this, I'm sure you're examining yourself as I'm examining myself. Am I indeed diligent to learn the doctrine? That's not the popular thing today. That's not what you hear about in religion today. But it is what you hear here, the Lord's church. And are you actively engaged in that in your life? Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Here Paul again just jumping into things, right in the middle of things. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching or doctrine. We become obedient to that doctrine. You see, you've got to know the doctrine in order to be saved. You know, Rick Warren and others who teach this thing about church growth that don't teach doctrine in the assembly, what are they doing? They're not teaching people how to be saved. They can't be. People must obey doctrine to be saved. And if you say, don't teach doctrine, you're saying, I'm not going to save any of those people. Because you've got to teach doctrine for people to be saved. One final passage on this point, if you'll turn over with me to Colossians chapter 2. And again, let's take it on down to everyday life. Just everyday life. Trying to live as we should and to obey God and to do the right things and to overcome the wrong things. Just everyday life. Go to school. Go to work. Colossians 2 verse 20. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as though you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees? Now, I get this. In other words, to other doctrines, to other religious teachings, to decrees. Why do you submit yourself to these, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom. Let me paraphrase. The doctrine of all these religions, they have the appearance of wisdom. They look like they're so spiritual and so great, and those who adhere to it, oh, they're so spiritual. Have the appearance of this in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. In other words, let me tell you this. Let me paraphrase. If you are living by man-made religious doctrine, it is of no value against you to overcome sin. You must go to the Bible and learn the doctrine of Jesus Christ and live that way. That will be of value to you because you'll be able to overcome sin in your life. Learning doctrine is important to do the right thing and to be saved. But let's continue on with another point. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Learning doctrine is important to be a leader in the Lord's church. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm going to refer to three passages here, each to these one of these young evangelists here. As they were getting their start as leaders in the Lord's church. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and doctrine. New American Standard says teaching. Give attention to it. Church leaders are to give attention. And we can be leaders in all sorts of different ways. We're leaders in the church as we bring up our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. We're leading our children. You got to do it with doctrine. We're leaders as Bible teachers. Whether it be from the very youngest to the oldest, you got to do it with doctrine. If you don't know the doctrine, you can't be a leader in any fashion. Whether it's friend with friend at school, at work, at church, in any way. It's impossible if we don't first know the doctrine. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And now back up just a few verses to verse 6. Originally, I brought out verse 6, then verse 13. I said, no, I need to reverse them. Here's verse 6. Look at this right here. In pointing out these things. Now, what things is he talking about? He's talking about verses 1 through 5, these false religious doctrines of the day. He's warning them in the latter times are going to come these things of forbidding certain things to eat and to marry, things such as this. Verse 6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine. Let me explain it. In other words, to point these things out that he's been talking about here in verse 5. To point these things out, you have to do so by teaching doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Number 2, at the end of this verse, verse 6, to be nourished, to come to maturity, to feed upon those spiritual things, how do you do it? It has to be doctrine. And listen, it has to be the right doctrine. It has to be the doctrine of Jesus Christ and not some other doctrine. The doctrine taught to us within the Holy Word of God. One more passage. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. We'll look at chapter 1, verse 9 and chapter 2, verse 1. Teaching of doctrine in the church. Chapter 1, verse 9. Here speaking of the elders, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching or doctrine, so that he will be able, that's the elder, both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. The elders use doctrine in their teaching and with those who are teaching those things which are wrong in refuting them. They must know the doctrine. To be a church leader, you must know the doctrine. But also chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, this is Titus, speak these things which are fitting for sound doctrine. For anyone to be a teacher in the Lord's church, it is to say the things which are fitting according to sound doctrine. And if we have someone in the church who does not know the doctrine, who is not acquainted with the doctrine, they can't be a teacher. You have to know that teaching before you can teach others. Now let me bring out the seventh point that Rick Warren brought in his list of seven things to do to really grow a church, to have a super church, to have lots of people and make lots of money. Let me bring out number 7. A spirit of compromise must prevail. You see how different that is from the scriptures we've already read? You know, in the church you've got to give attention to doctrine. You've got to point out false doctrines. You have to refute false doctrine. But here, though, to have a great big church with lots of people making lots of money, there must be a spirit of compromise. It must prevail in the church. That is to experience dynamic growth. You must embrace contemporary culture and style. What works? Things that are least offensive. And what is positive and uplifting? Nothing negative. Nothing negative. Church leaders' attitude must be, this is a quote from Rick Warren, Don't try to tell me the Bible requires holiness and a style of worship and ministry that is different from that of the world. The grace in your face attitude is so prevalent today because of church elders who are not willing or not aware of how to instruct ones to behave in the house of God. In other words, the problem is with the church leaders. They don't know how to tell people how to behave. How are you supposed to behave? Everything's okay. Everything's is fine. We're going to compromise on everything. That's how you're to behave. You see how different that is from the Bible? Seriously different from the Bible. To be a leader in the Lord's church, different from other churches, you have to know the doctrine. You have to know the doctrine. One other point in why learning doctrine is important. That is so that we can lead people to Christ. And this gets us, I guess, sort of outside of the walls of our building where we assemble as a church. And this gets us, again, in everyday life. At school, at work, in our neighborhoods, on the playground, where we want to influence people to come to Christ. Two passages. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and once again, Paul is talking, writing to the young evangelist. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and beginning in verse 3. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. You know, this is what evangelism is to an extent. Those who are teaching strange doctrines and those who are believing strange doctrines, we must instruct them in the right way. Paul says in verse 4, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Now, the other point this emphasizes to us, to teach people and to lead them to Christ, we got to know what? Do we have to know all these false doctrines out in the world? Do we have to know these myths and these genealogies and these strange doctrines in the world? Is that what we need to know? Well, some would say yes. But the Lord's church, the Holy Word of God, says no. That's not what you need to know. You need to refute that, as a matter of fact, with the Holy Word of God. Turn over to verse 7. Again, just right in the middle of things. These who are these false teachers and these false doctrines wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. You see, they're out there, they're so confident. What do you do? What do you do to have a great church? You got to compromise. Nothing negative. Don't teach any doctrine. Don't put anything on your sign or on your literature, anything. That's what you know. They assert that so confidently. They got the studies to back it up. No, that's not the way that you do it. You do it with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Again, right in the middle of things. And immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching or doctrine. You see, those are the individuals involved in these false doctrines, these myths, all of these things. But not us as Christians. I want you to look at one more passage with this point, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. This is what we must do to reach people with Christ. And I know every person here who's a Christian, this is what you want to do. This is your soul's desire, is to reach one person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right here. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. It starts with knowing the doctrine of Jesus Christ, living that way, and sharing that teaching with other people. This is my last point, and it's a fast one. How do we learn the doctrine? Again, let's listen to what Paul tells the evangelist, the young man Timothy. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I know probably many of you have this scripture memorized. I want you to see it with your eyes. I want you to see the word we're talking about tonight. All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching or doctrine. Right there it is. To learn the doctrine of Jesus Christ, we have to go to the scriptures and read and study and learn and memorize. So that we know that teaching. Just like we know other things that we know. David, who's staying with us for the summer, he's in there, he's studying all these books and he's studying all these plans and all this stuff, and he's memorizing all different kinds of wire that does this and this load and that load and all this stuff. You got to memorize it. You got to know it. You're out there on the job and you put the wrong thing in, you kill yourself. Brethren, young folks, we have to know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's what we must do, not only to save ourselves, but to have hope of saving others. Why is it important to learn the doctrine of Jesus Christ? Because if we don't, we can't do anything. We can do nothing without knowing what the Lord teaches on that subject. Now let me ask you this. I know you've been asking yourself this question. You've been reviewing yourself in your life as we've gone through this lesson. Are you studying and learning the doctrine of Christ? In your personal Bible study and your reading, what you need personally where you are, this is apart from our coming together and our Bible studies together. Are you personally learning for yourself the doctrine? Think about that question. How about at church? Our Bible studies, our teaching program, our lessons we have as we assemble together. Are you paying attention? Are you doing the best that you can? Are you committing those things to memory that need to be committed to memory? Whatever level you're at right now, progressing in your learning of the doctrine of Christ, are you doing that? Are you memorizing the doctrine of Christ? Do you know the principles, the verses where they're taught? If you're young, are you working toward knowing the doctrine well enough to be a church leader and to teach the lost, to be a Bible teacher one day, to teach your friends and your families and to lead them to Christ with the gospel? Why is it important to learn the doctrine? To do the right thing, to be saved, to be a leader in the Lord's church, and to lead people to Christ with the gospel. We need to learn the doctrine. Are you doing that? I am resolved. That's the song we're going to sing. If you'd like to open up your hymn books here. Maybe you are at a point in your life and, oh, you've not really been learning the doctrine as you should. Maybe it's time to really step it up. I am resolved. Are you resolved to do that? I suppose all of us here, we all are trying to mature and to become better Christians, whatever stage we're at. Are you resolved to do that? Or are you happy just staying where you're at? If you're not a Christian tonight, and you know what the Lord would have you to do, believing in Jesus Christ to be who He claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah, King of kings, Lord of lords, if you believe that, willing to repent of your sins, just means turning from doing the wrong to begin doing the right. That's the commitment tonight. To confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins, He'll add you to His church. At that point, you'll know a little bit of the doctrine, and you'll be on your way. And learning more of it every day and applying it to your life. We can help you at all tonight. If you're resolved, come to the front as we stand and sing.